Hey guys, welcome to FitChix Chat, brought to you by FitChix Academy. We help heart-centered women who love health and fitness get certified as fitness and nutrition coaches and build amazing businesses. Our goal is to educate and empower women to take control of their lives through our weekly podcast, where we talk about fitness, nutrition, mindset, and wellness. I am one of your co-hosts, Amanda Quinn. I am the co-founder of FitChix Academy. I'm a certified personal trainer, yoga instructor, business coach, and a mom. In each episode, you'll either hear from myself and Laura Jackson together, sometimes solo, or sometimes having top female experts in the field of fitness, nutrition, and wellness to educate and empower you to take control of your health and your life. Now let's dive into this week's episode of FitChix Chat. In this week's episode, I have the amazing Nikki Bergen joining me once again. And this week, we are talking all about IVF treatment and her own personal story. Nikki is an inspirational trainer and creative educator with a passion for encouraging women to lead happier, healthier lives. Nikki Bergen is one of Canada's most sought-after health and fitness experts. A former professional dancer, Nikki has dedicated her life to creating fitness programs that create choreography from science, each one specifically designed to enable women to ditch the guilt and bring balance to their bodies. Nikki's passion for helping women has driven her to become a renowned Stop Pilates instructor, a sought-after instructor trainer, an expert in pre and postnatal fitness, and a compassionate health coach. She is also a trained breast cancer rehab specialist, having graduated from the Pink Ribbon program in 2011. A holistic approach to health and relentless desire to help inspire women to realize their dreams led Nikki to create three groundbreaking exercise programs designed specifically for women: the Bell Method, the Bump Method, and the Pink Method. In 2015, Nikki founded Elevate Retreats, which offers transformational wellness getaways that combine elements of fitness, nutrition, and inspiration for women looking to reconnect with themselves and their fellow sisters. Today, Nikki and her team of skilled trainers work with a wide range of clients, from elite athletes and corporate executives to women coping with cancer, diastasis recti, sciatica, and pain related to pregnancy. Nikki loves eyeliner, green smoothies, grew up on Madonna's Immaculate Collection and the Rolling Stones, and can't wait for her next once-in-a-lifetime adventure. So thank you so much, Nikki, for joining us, and thank you guys so much for joining us as well. Now let's dive in.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FitChix Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn, and on today's podcast, I've got the amazing Nikki Bergen joining me again. Hi, Nikki.
Hey, Amanda. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much for joining me. So, guys, on today's podcast, Nikki and I are just going to chat a little bit. We're going to have a conversation about IVF, and we're going to talk about conception and issues around that and misconceptions around that as well, because this is something, Nikki, I know that you personally had to go through IVF treatment yourself.
Yes, we did. We did. Yeah. I am very open about it because I know not everybody is open about it, and that can feel really isolating for women who are having a hard time conceiving.
Exactly. And I think that's, you know, talking about that and talking about it from the perspective of like, you're not alone and you're not in this sort of like on your own island trying to figure this all out, I think is really important for us to kind of bring up and allow people to understand that, because I do think that there's a lot of women out there that do feel like they're kind of out there doing their own thing. They feel like they have no one to turn to. So do you mind sharing a little bit more about just like your sort of your experience around that?
Yeah, of course. I'm very, very open about it because I found that for the longest time I wasn't open about it. And then I remember, I always tell the story, I've been teaching pre and postpartum fitness for a very long time. And of course, I'm trying to conceive, and I am teaching these pregnant women all the time, and it started to aggravate me. And I couldn't quite figure out why was I kind of irritated on Mondays, because Mondays was always my prenatal class. And I was always like, fuck, it's Monday. And then you kind of think, well, it's Monday. Of course, you don't like Monday. But I'm like, I love my job. I love what I do. Yeah. And I started to put two and two together that I started to just dread, and this is horrible to admit, but I didn't enjoy teaching that class because I was surrounded by these glowing moms, and I was jealous. And it had been like, it's a mind fuck, sorry to swear, but it is.
No, like, it's okay.
You are disappointed each month, and you're trying and you're questioning and you're doing all the things. You're doing the that it the, you know, the tracking, the ovulation tracking, and the maybe even the acupuncture and all the healthy foods and the antioxidants. You see naturopaths, you see everything, and it's still not working, and you wonder why. And you assume that everybody else had an easy time, and you're the only one struggling. And so one day I finally said to my prenatal class, we were going to start doing some IUIs, which is typically what you do before you go down the IVF route. And I just said to them, you know, guys, I just want to be open with you. This is something that I'm doing, and I'm going to start to be more open about it and talk about it on social media so you might see it, but I wanted to tell you first. And the reaction was incredible. Like, I had probably 3 or 4 women come up to me after class and say, thank you so much. I think what you're doing is so important. And they shared with me, one of them had had 3 miscarriages. One of them had also gone through IVF. One of them had other questions because, you know, her sister was going through it. And there were so many women that came forward, and it was almost like a breath of fresh air where we were like, it's okay to talk about this. In fact, it's so important that we do talk about this. Mm-hmm. And since that experience, I started to share more. And that was also a really important for me mentally when I was going through it.
Definitely. Because, I mean, did that sort of give you like this feeling of like, I guess, comfort in a sense of like knowing that, like, you know, if you were having some struggles with, like, you know, at that class, like if you were having that jealousy moment or something like that, that you knew that you can kind of express yourself in a bit of a different way?
You know what? It's funny.
Not towards the class.
Stop complaining. No, you're pregnant. No. It's more like, honestly, and I mean this sincerely, as soon as I shared that, I felt like I was taking my mask off and I could be real about what I was living. Mm-hmm. And I no longer had those suppressed emotions, like those feelings of like those pangs of jealousy actually kind of, they subsided. And I recognized that, you know what, like we all have struggles in various areas of our life and it's okay. And, you know, and I had to just trust and surrender to the process and trust that it was going to work out. It just maybe wouldn't happen on the timeline that I hoped it would. I just had to believe. And you have a choice. You can always choose negative thoughts or positive thoughts. And it sounds kind of woo-woo to say it, but it's truly true that you have to make that choice because you'll waste so much energy. And IVF and IUI and a whole thing, it's exhausting. Like you're up at 7 in the morning getting your blood drawn every day, commuting. I drove from Etobicoke to Markham every morning on the 407 for like weeks just to get my blood drawn and like, you know, an internal invasive ultrasound. And then you drive back and you start your day. And you have to find a way of like managing that, where you've done that, all this has happened before 9 a.m. and then you have to go about your day and smile and teach your classes. So it's not easy. Yeah. But you find support with other women who have gone through it.
Mm-hmm. Did you personally find like a support network or something? Like was there like an online community or something that you're
I actually created a private Instagram account and I met other women going through it, and it's incredible. Like, you know, and I met friends that I now consider friends that are across the country, and like we were going through cycles at the same time, and we didn't all have success, but you know, we were there for each other, and in a way that, you know, real authentic friendships can be built when women are going through that stuff together. And that for me was a really powerful thing for sure. So I would encourage anyone to explore, you know, it doesn't have to be something that anyone knows about, make up a name, just, and you will connect with other women for sure. Everyone's looking for that. And not everybody has, you know, friends in person that get it, you know, that's, I think women supporting other women is truly the most powerful thing for sure.
Definitely. No, and I can't agree with you more. Now when you were going through, you know, before you even went to IVF, I know we were talking earlier and you were just saying like you were doing all the things.
Yeah.
You know, you and I were having this conversation because I feel like I'm in the same boat as you. You know, as I mentioned to you, like my husband and I have been trying to conceive our second child for about a year now, which is quite a bit of time. I know that it's not forever and it's, you know, and it's not as long as some people have, but it is still quite a bit of time. And I feel as though I've been doing all the things as well, you know, taking all the supplements, eating right, exercising, et cetera. Like, in your opinion, what was that experience like for you beforehand? Like when you were doing all the things, like, what do you mean by doing all the things, I guess?
What were all the things that I did?
Yeah.
You get all the apps first off. You kind of think, oh, well, I'm going to track my cycle. So you start
Gosh, I have it. Yeah.
I have like 3 different apps and I would like cross-reference them to see which one seemed accurate. I could tell you within hours when I was ovulating. And I was lucky that I knew it was very set, very regular. And I knew, like, I'm going to have my LH search this day, day 16, da, da, da. And I knew. And I was generally accurate because I could get them blood work to confirm, you know, what the app said or what the pee stick said. And you start feeling and it also takes a toll mentally on your relationship, on you, on your relationship with your body. You start to think, well, I'm going to cut out caffeine and I'm not going to drink. And then you start to feel like, well, you know, you're not fully living your life because, you know, well, what if I'm pregnant then? And what if, you know, there's a lot of what ifs. And then, oh, I for sure we did it the right day. Or even if my husband was traveling, I'd be like, well, you can't travel that time of the month because da, 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 you know, and he's like,
it consumes you.
Oh, and I'm like, no, you can't go. You know, like, the whole thing. And it's not like, an, you know, and I have to say that the worst thing is when people tell you to relax.
Right.
And I think when I talked about that, and it's like, it makes you just want to pound your head against the wall because it's actually kind of like when you're really mad and someone tells you, just calm down. Like, it's not actually going to help. It's going to make it worse. Right.
Yeah.
What I don't like about that is it sort of insinuates to the woman that she's getting, being hysterical, and she's kind of creating the problem herself. Like, if you just relaxed, it would happen for you, but it's not happening because you're so stressed, and it's your fault you're not consuming because you're so stressed out. And that is completely unfair. Also, the fact that women typically in society tend to be blamed for infertility, when actually studies show that the majority of cases are actually due to male factor infertility, which is something that most people don't realize either. You know, and so anytime I would get advice, unsolicited advice, oh, well, have you tried this and have you tried that? And it's just like, you know, A, I don't want to talk about it with you. And B, yes, or maybe not. And C, like, you know, how about you give my husband some advice? Like, why is it always directed to me? You know, and men just are like, well, you know, and so that whole piece, I feel like I became even more of a feminist when this all happened. I'm like, why are you all focusing on me? Like, it takes two here.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so that's another big thing that, you know, I certainly vented to a lot of people about that for sure. And it helped. Venting is important.
Venting is definitely important, but I mean, you and I, we did talk about that. And I think, you know, you do hear it often. Like, if you are, you know, if you are someone right now listening and you have been maybe trying to conceive or, you know, even considering it, and like you have people that are telling you that same statement over and over again of like, just relax, it'll happen naturally. Stop trying and it'll just happen and stop doing this. So like, I don't even know though for myself, and I don't know if you had something that you did, like, I don't even know what to say to people anymore when they say that to me. Cause I'm not really certain like how to say it in a polite way to just be like, thank you. But you know what I mean? Like, cause I'm kind of at that place where I'm just like, okay, like clearly if I've been trying for a year, I've probably tried a lot of the things that you're going to suggest. And the idea of relaxing is something that I do take. I try to be mindful of in my day-to-day life, but then at the same time, my life is my life. And so it's as busy as it is. So it's like, did you have anything that you kind of used to help shut that down in any way? Do you remember?
I had so many things, Amanda, so many things. I think, I mean, on one level, I'd just be like, you know, if they're like, you know, people asking you, when are you having kids? Or are you going to have, how come you've been married for so long? Especially for first, you know, time, if you already have a child, like secondary infertility, people will say, well, when are you having your next kid?
All the time.
And then you can just be like, well, you can just say, you know, working on it, wink, you know, and then like change the conversation. Or you can say like, it hasn't happened yet. But then you're opening the door to advice. So if you want to just deflect, then I would probably just be like, hasn't happened yet, and then change the conversation. You know, if people ask you that question and you really don't know them, you could be like, well, that's kind of a personal question. And then they'll get the sense that back off, you know? It depends on who the person is, but or you could just say, you know what, like we've been struggling and we're going to go see a fertility person or something. And then, it depends. But yeah, a lot of the times I would just be like working on it, wink, wink, like, and then just change the conversation. Cause that was the easiest, fastest way to sort of get out of that.
To just drive it somewhere else and just to end it, shut it down.
Shut it down. Exactly.
Shut it down. Now, when you were like going through this process as well, did you have a feeling like, did you have this sense of like loneliness throughout this process at all? Did you have this, like, cause I know we were talking in the beginning of this conversation about how like you know, you should find like an online community, find something just to kind of relate to. And we do feel like a lot of people are kind of on their own going through this process. Did you feel like that at times?
I think, of course, at times you feel that. I'm pretty active on social media, which helped. And I think for me, it also helps that I'm surrounded by women every day, all day, given what I do for a living.
Yeah.
So I was able to really find an amazing group of people through that network that I already have that would then support me. But it's funny, we're having this conversation. I'm actually going over to a student's who's become a friend, her house tonight, because she's going through IVF and she's had two failed cycles, and we're going to have wine and talk because I offered. I said, listen, like, do you have anyone else to talk to about this? And she's like, yeah, well, I talked to my family, but like, they obviously don't know completely because they haven't gone through it. So I was like, all right, let's have some wine. Let's discuss.
Yeah. You know?
And just so that she can feel like, you know, she's not alone. Like I called women who I had never met. Like friends would set me up. Oh, my friend went through IVF. I'd like go on the phone with them and be like, okay, tell me what you did. And these are women that I had not met in person, but I'd have hour long conversations with on the phone. And we immediately had this huge thing in common, asking about like levels of drugs and, you know, protocols, and like you become an expert on hormones and all these things because you just learn so much and you want to make sure that your clinic's lab and embryologist team is as good as the other clinics. So like you do all this crazy, at least I did. I was a huge researcher. I wanted to know that where I was going was the best place and, you know, the decisions that I made, and I would question the doctors, and sometimes it was a good thing that I did because my drug dosages would change. Like it was this, I literally, everything else in my life kind of went on hold last year because I was just so focused on this journey.
Right.
And I'm one of the lucky ones, very, very lucky ones, that, you know, IUIs didn't work. We had an early miscarriage with one of the IUIs, which they said was a good sign that we could even conceive in the first place. And then we were able to get pregnant with the first IVF, which isn't super common. Like it, a lot of times it takes two or three or even four cycles. So we're very, I don't honestly know how I would be doing if we had to do three or four or five. I mean, you survive, but it's a mental, it's like a cloud over your life.
Mm-hmm.
And really consume absolutely every element of your life. And so that's where I think it's important to be able to talk to women who truly get it. Yeah.
Definitely. Do you mind sharing, like, when you are going through IVF, and this, I don't know if this is personalized for each individual or if this is sort of a general protocol, but is there a very specific, like, did your diet, did your workout routine, did everything have to shift? Or like, I know that you live a very healthy lifestyle, but do they have a very certain protocol that they set in place that goes along with the treatments, or is it the treatments are very separate?
Yeah.
Oh, so they don't even really put that into consideration.
No. They'll say, don't work out like after transfer. And then obviously you're about to do an egg retrieval. So the way it is with an IUI, it's like everything's the same. IUI is basically artificial insemination. You go in when the day you ovulate, they take some sperm, they mix it up and they clean it basically. And then they do the turkey baster thing and they like shove it in. Like a path basically.
Right.
Then they just cross, and you come back in like, you know, 2 weeks and you try to see if you're pregnant. And they say 2 weeks. And you get a pregnancy test and it's a yes or a no. So IUIs, and a lot of times people do medicated IUIs or unmedicated IUIs. Basically, if you're having a problem ovulating, you take a drug to help you ovulate. Then they see with your blood work, okay, you're about to ovulate. You just ovulated. Now we're going to do the turkey baster thing. And there you go. But the chances of it working are not that big, 15, maybe 20%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's not that big. Mm-hmm. IVF has a much greater chance of working, but it's way more invasive and it's also way more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a sperm issue, the sperm can't get to the egg. With the turkey baster, you're relying on the sperm to get to the egg to do the swimming, but if the swimming's not happening, then you actually need to take the egg out of the woman and sometimes even inject the sperm into the egg. Yeah. Or they can make friends in a petri dish. So there's even within IVF, there's different kinds of IVF depending on what the issues are.
Right.
And so we ended up needing to do IVF. And it's really uncomfortable. You take a whole bunch of drugs, you inject yourself, you know, every day with two or three needles, and for about 10 days, sometimes even longer, depending on your protocol. And then at the end of that, you've got like, you feel like a chicken because you've got like,
oh
Uh-oh. We didn't have that many.
Oh, you cut out just a little bit right there at the end. When you were saying, that's okay.
It's a bit uncomfortable. So when you're doing IVF, and so then you have to go in and they kind of put you kind of out, at least where I went, they kind of put you almost out, not under general anesthesia, but then they go in and they take all the eggs out, the follicles, and then, you know, it's this whole game of numbers. And they kind of say, well, how many eggs did we get? How many of them were mature? And then they fertilize them. But so the whole point to answer your question is that around all that, because you're so bloated and swollen, you're not working out. Like that's a, you want to work out a little bit, but as you approach that retrieval date, it's uncomfortable.
Right.
To recover, and then you kind of ease back into it. Mm-hmm. But dietary, the clinics don't give you advice on diet. You just do research and you eat a healthy, you know, balanced diet. And I focused a lot on, like, you know, vegetables, clean organic protein, you know, fruit, the usual, right? Like, thing, right? You heard of that?
Yeah.
Eat food, not mostly plants. Yeah, it was that. I don't know. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, it definitely does. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Because I do think the whole, just understanding the protocol and even the process behind it, I think a lot of people, even if they're considering it, it's something that is just interesting just to even understand, like, what that can, in a snapshot, potentially look like, right? And it will be different, like you said, for everybody.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a tricky thing. And you don't realize how much...
Sorry, I don't know why we're freezing a little bit in this interview. I apologize.
No problem. I think, yeah, we're... I don't know either.
I think we got most of the info, though. But so just to wrap this up, because I know that you've got to run, I do appreciate your time so much, and I appreciate your insight. But is there anything that you would like to say to anyone who's listening right now who might be either going through that process or, you know, struggling to conceive or even just considering, you know, starting to conceive? And is there anything that you would like to share with them just to, like, kind of help them in that process, especially from a mindset perspective? Because the mindset plays such a massive role in, you know, just going through this in a way of not being negative and not being sort of like negative self-talk or attacking yourself in that process.
Sure. Well, first of all, remember it's not your fault. Like, that is key, because women have a tendency of blaming themselves. So you need to, like, make sure that you know that none of this is your fault. And know that in your heart and your soul, because blaming yourself is the worst possible thing you could do. And it serves no purpose, and it's actually not the case. It's not your fault. So first and foremost, know that. And don't be afraid to reach out to people to talk, because, you know, sometimes you just want to share what you're going through and share it with someone who has gone through the same thing or is going through the same thing. So I found personally that finding that online community was really helpful. I'm also a big fan of Gabrielle Bernstein. She struggled as well to conceive, and she has a really great book called The Universe Has Your Back. Mm-hmm. I read that book, and it was actually really helpful. And it's all about, talks even deeper into that mindset thing. And she talks about essentially having faith that, you know, the universe has a plan for you. And you can find, as soon as you recognize that, you feel supported. You feel like you can let go of this need to control, because that's the most important thing. If you can find a way where you can let go of the need to control, then you'll find that you'll have a lot less anxiety about the whole process than if you're, you know, really grasping and there's nothing to grasp. You really don't have control. So that would be another recommend. That book is key for sure. The universe has your back.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Nikki, for sharing. I really appreciate you sharing your story with us and sharing your insights around conception, IVF, and just mindset overall, because I do think it's, like I said, it's something that a lot of people don't necessarily feel comfortable talking about, or they just don't really know where to turn to. So I really, really appreciate you sharing. And of course, for everyone who is interested in learning more about you, Nikki, how can they find out more info about where can they find you?
Sure. Yes, you can find me. So I'm a postpartum and regular, and you can just check me out at thebellmethod.com on Instagram and on the website, thebellmethod, BELLE.com.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you again, Nikki. And thank you all so much for listening. And we'll talk to you again soon. Okay. Bye.
Thank you so much, Amanda. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. If you love the show, we would love it if you could head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and review to help spread the Fit Chicks love. We release a new episode every Tuesday and Thursday, so please be sure to subscribe so you never miss out.